Have you ever thought about writing, publishing, and launching a book, but you don't know where to start? Or maybe you already have the bones of a book, but you aren't sure how to do a successful launch that gets you bestseller status. I'll be chatting today with business book mentor Diana Needham, who shares a twist on the podcast book tour to launch to a full room. Let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, welcome back to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And so many of you in the podcasting world have seen, as soon as someone has a book, they do their rounds and guest on a bunch of shows and share their expertise and their book. And what a great way for it to get noticed and get more downloads and buys. So I have a writing expert. What would you say you call yourself, Diana? A book mentor? Publisher. I know you help people publish books. So this is Diana Needham, and we're going to talk books today.
Awesome.
Welcome to the show. So let's start with, we were kind of talking in the green room, and I love your approach. And a couple of things that you said was, if you can't start writing the book until you get a few things in place first. Now, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I'm all about strategy before implementation.
Good.
Like making sure you have a firm strategy, meaning the foundation. So one of the first questions I ask people is, why are you writing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this message so important that you're willing to spend dollars, blood, sweat, and tears, like put it on paper, like writing a book, publishing a book as a project? So why is this message so important? And what I'm digging for there, Lindsay, is the heart answer.
Okay.
Not the head answer.
Yeah.
Right. So people might say, well, because there's so much confusing information out there about it, or might people don't understand it, or yada, 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 yada. Okay, well, good. But what I want to know is, why is this so important to you? Why is this message, and I'll give you a real life example of helping the parents of high school students find the right fit college for their child. Why is that so important to you? And what comes out from that is this heart story of a moment in their life when they were dropped off in the middle of nowhere with two overstuffed bags, watching their parents slowly drive away, and they were petrified. This is a real life example. So this lady came to me, and like, she had this book already written, and she has all these PhDs, and she's been a counselor at colleges and high school and all this. I mean, it's awesome. But when I looked at the intro, I just saw, I didn't know who she was as a person.
It was all like facts and data instead.
It's all like information. So when I ask her, why is this message so important? You know, people are, they don't know how to answer because no one's ever asked them that.
That is true.
When she finally was able to articulate that she was the first student, first child in her entire family to ever go to college. Her parents couldn't help her because they'd never had a college experience.
Right.
But what she knew is that her parents had scrimped and saved to send her to college, and her mom had worked three jobs. And she was scared to death she was going to disappoint them.
Ooh.
As they drove away. Okay, so there's this discovery process. Always start with the why is it important.
Yeah.
That whole piece was totally missing from her book.
Interesting.
And so what she sounds like is kind of like, you know, the Charlie Brown teacher in the background, that's the wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Because I want to know her. So we were able to take that story and snap, you know, it's September, whatever date it was, and it's in present tense as she watches her parents drive away and how she was feeling this feeling that I'm scared to death I'm going to disappoint them.
Yeah.
And then she pivoted into, so I've had my own college experiences. I have like 3 degrees. I'm also the mom of four. And my 4 children have all had their unique college experiences. And this book is a culmination of all of the wisdom that I've gained.
Ooh.
Right? And then she can just go lead right into her everything else. But that whole piece was missing. So that's why she sounded like an academic.
Yes.
And I'm a mom. I'm saying, well, what qualifies you to tell me how to find the right fit college for my child?
So it's that emotional connection piece as well, right? And you're painting a picture and you're relating to the person that's going to read the book. Those pieces are important.
And that became like her signature story. You know, we were talking a little bit about, as a, you know, one of the things I tell my clients is you've got to go out and build. You already have some kind of audience, but you need to be building your audience. So that story, that heart story, becomes their opening to their signature talk. It becomes the reason when podcast hosts say, so Greta, tell me why you wrote the college roadmap. It rolls out. It just
captivating.
Rolls. It just rolls out and people lean in and go, this is going to really be good. And that's the reaction you want to the intro of your book. So I delve into the why, and then it's the who. Who is your audience? Who specifically is your audience? Not it's like baby boomers. Well, what kind of baby boomers and what's their... And then what's the problem the book's going to solve for them? Because we buy nonfiction to solve a problem. What's the problem?
Right.
What do you want to be known for? Like, and at the last question is, what's the result that you want? So imagine this book's in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to have happen? So when people can clearly articulate, and see, that's what I call the strategy. Strategy before implementation. So once we know that, the answers to those questions, then you're ready to go write the right book for the right audience to get the result that you want. Versus just the first step is not writing.
Interesting.
People think the first step is writing. The first step is not writing, because the rest of it doesn't matter if you don't know why you're doing it, who it's for, what's the problem that it's going to solve, what do you want at the end? So when I can understand, this is where I start with everybody, and I have to work with them because they don't have a heart story, or they are, you know, they're not clear, their audience is too broad. Once we get that honed in, now we're ready to put together an outline that speaks directly to that person who has that problem to get that result that you say that you want.
And that way, when you're writing the book, you're not winging it and hoping for the best.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, the thing is, those answers guide the writing process, because you're speaking to one, using College Roadmap as an example, you're speaking to one mom of a high schooler who wants the very best for her child. But she doesn't know, because she's never been through this experience, how do I help my child find the college where they're going to thrive? Not just any old college, not just the one we can afford. How do I help them find a college where it's the right fit culturally, like all of it? How do I find the right college? So that, see, and so when I say strategy before implementation, strategy first, implementation is tactics.
So true.
So one of the things that we talked about, you know, a little bit earlier is about making sure that you've got to continually be building your audience. So while you're writing the book, go find the podcast where your ideal readers are listening, so you can be building your audience well before the book comes out. Does that make sense?
It does. And when you said that to me earlier before we got to recording, I was like, that is so smart. How you explained that you just did a cover for a book. And once you have that cover and the title, and you have those, you know, the who, you know, the what, you know, your story, then you can go on podcasts before it's even launched. So can you kind of like, you explain it in such a better way, like how people can understand that.
Yeah. So, you know, once we know all the answers to those questions and they're tight as we can possibly get them, then we can start thinking about the cover design, the colors, what's the emotion that you want, the colors and fonts have a feeling.
So true.
So what image comes to mind when you think, you know, like if I just stay with the College Roadmap, her cover actually was a Google map with the little pins in it. Because it's a college roadmap. It's
Absolutely.
A roadmap. It's one stop to the next to the next. So whatever that graphic is, I mean, again, even if it's vague, I have a cover designer. We'll create the front cover for you so that you can go. It's so much easier to get on a podcast when you're an author. And you can say, I am the author of the forthcoming book, whatever the title is, even if it's the draft, it's not, may not be the final of the final. And here's my book cover.
Ooh.
Now you have collateral.
Yeah.
To help you get on podcasts, to be expanding your audience, getting people on your email list, getting people asking for launch updates because they love your topic and they love the conversation that you just had with the host.
That to me is an absolute game changer. I'm always have it in my head, like you got it. The book has to be completely done before you can even start that process of getting exposure on different shows. But to say you're the author of a forthcoming book and you have the cover, I'm like, oh, I'm using that strategy. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, and the cover may not be the final of the final, and we might tweak the subtitle or something might change, but no one's going to remember that.
No.
The key is having the collateral, having your story, getting your message out in front of the audience that you're here to help while you're in the writing and the publishing process. So you're not launching to an empty room.
That is a powerful statement. So yeah, you're guesting on shows. People are hearing about your book. It's getting in front of, you know, those hosts, their listeners, email lists, and so forth. And then you're creating that buzz before launch day.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the launch for a little bit, because I've seen you in action. Our friend Phyllis, and you helped her with her book and her launch. I find that piece of it is also super daunting for entrepreneurs. They don't know what to do and how to do it right so that they get noticed. But then there's all that piece about like Amazon bestseller and so forth. Talk to us a little bit about your process.
Yeah, for a launch, one of the early things that I ask clients to do is, we all know more people than we think we do. So I give them a template, a spreadsheet, and I say, just do a brain dump. Who are all the people that love you, that love your message, that love your work? Go scour your LinkedIn connections. Look at the people commenting on your Facebook post, your clients, previous clients. If you had a job, the leader, like most of us had a job at some point, people that know you, and just do a brain dump. First name, last name, email address. Brain dump and then keep adding to it as more names come to you. Because that list becomes the list of people that we reach out and we're so excited. My book is launching on Kindle on such a date. My big mission is to what? Because you want to enroll them in your mission.
Oh, yes.
Enroll them in what it is. You know, my mission is to help as many high school parents of high schoolers find the right fit college for their kids. And I know you believe in that too. Would you be willing to share my book on launch day on social media. I'll make it copy and paste simple. I'm going to give you all the materials. I would just let me know if you'd be willing to do that. We don't send that out until we really have a launch date.
Yeah, makes
but we
sense.
have to we start building that list of people at the beginning. And once we have that list, we can go through that list and go, okay, which of these people do I want to ask to write early reviews?
Ooh, right.
Which of these people could write an endorsement? Is there a luminary in my industry on this list that I've actually met in person that I could ask to write the foreword?
Oh, yeah.
And then all the rest of the people are your launch team. So instead of, again, this idea that you can't launch to an empty room, you start thinking about this early and you just keep adding to, because the moment you post on social media that, it's funny, one Sunday not too long ago, I had covers for two books. My cover designer sent me the design for two books. I sent them to my author clients via email and I said, this is our first pass at the front cover based on our conversation. Within an hour, both of them posted the covers on Facebook.
Oh, of course.
And so they're like, I want to show you that we're so excited. Like, here's my cover. My book's coming this summer. All those people that are commenting, knock, 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 put them on your list, right? Put them on your list so that you're constantly and consistently building this list of people that are waiting for the book to come out. So you can't launch to an empty room. So you want to have these people lined up that love you, that will support you, that will promote the book on whatever day that we choose that we're going to unveil the book. We debut the book at a lower price point, and our goal is to get on Amazon bestseller list, which is all based on sales. And I have to say that to clients sometimes multiple times. This is based on sales. So the stronger your launch team is, the more reach your launch team members have.
Yeah.
Ideally, do you have people who run groups? Do you have people that have Facebook groups? Do you have people that have LinkedIn groups? I had a client who was a member of the North Carolina Chiropractors Association. They agreed to promote the book on launch. It went out to every chiropractor that's part of their association in North Carolina. So strategically, like choosing those people, figuring that out early in the, then I have a whole set of templates. One of the things I promise my clients is that you'll never start with a blank piece of paper.
Love
so
that.
When it comes time to invite these people, here is a template for you to customize.
Right.
And it always is around enrolling them in your mission, letting them know when the book is coming, letting them know we're going to make it copy and paste easy for them because nobody wants to have to think, and asking them, and the people that say yes, they automatically go on your launch team list.
Love it.
So then you kind of gather. So you can't launch to an empty room. You got to be thinking about that well in advance. And a bestseller campaign is an organized, orchestrated, focused marketing event that happens on a specific day. So we do all this prep and we line people up and we identify our early reviewers and we do all of these things so that come launch day, it's like, celebration.
Yeah.
Celebration, right? We we're here, we're not stressed because we have all these things in place.
Yeah.
And we've done all the right things and we have the book in the right categories. And we know, like when I work with clients, I have tools that will help me figure out the categories that the book should go in based on the competition and how many copies we're going to have to sell. So that we're not, if you're writing a book and it's a business book, you don't want to put it in the top level business and money category where you're competing with Covey's Seven Habits.
Exactly.
We need to delve down into you know, sales and selling or marketing or leadership or like whatever it, and keep digging down until we've got it in the right place, the right place in terms of the content and the right place in terms of how many competitors do we have in that category?
Interesting.
And is how many copies are we going to need to sell, which then ties back to our launch team. If our launch team is friends and family, and there's no influencer, there's no, you know, then our category strategy might be different than if we've got groups, leaders of groups, organizations, we've got people behind us where we know that we're going to get that number of sales.
Yeah.
That's
amazing
sense?
To have someone to guide you through that whole process and have a system already in place. I mean, to go that alone, it would be a hot mess. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time, so I know exactly what needs to be done in what order, because if we get out of order, that's when the stress and the frustration and the overwhelm and everything happens.
Right.
So I lay out a timeline so my clients know exactly what needs to happen, in what order, what's sequential, what's concurrent. These things can't happen until that happens. And we have a calendar that we execute. And that, just knowing, what do I need to do this week? What is it I need to do this week? That may be all that their brain can take on right now. Here's, if I say, okay, these are the things we have to do next week. And I handhold them through this whole process till we get to the end.
What is the typical time frame? Like from the conception when you're working with them on the who, the what, the where, and the when, and then to launch date? What, I mean, obviously it ranges, but like typically what would it be?
Well, I have an 8-month program called the Business Book Accelerator. 8 months. 8 months from idea. I've got an idea to having the book written, published, launched with an Amazon bestseller campaign, and I know how to use the book as a business asset. Because it's not enough to have just have a book. You've got to know, how am I going to use that to attract clients?
Yeah.
How am I going to use that to speed up the referral relationship building? How am I going to continue the momentum? How do I actually use this as a marketing strategy in my business? If I'm a speaker, can I sell the books in my speaker bundle? Like I have a fee, but I'm going to bring 50 autographed copies for your audience, and you add that on to, if you're speaking at a conference, how do I actually leverage this asset that I have to catapult my business?
I love that.
So the book becomes a strategic marketing asset, not, you know, I've got a book.
Yeah, you're not writing it for the sake of just writing it and to say you're an author. You got to do something with it and leverage it, which is my favorite L word.
Yeah.
I love that you are so holistic with the plan. I haven't seen a lot of ghostwriters, if that's the right term to use, or book coaches that have taken it a step further, involved you in the, like, be part of the launch, but also to think about what happens afterwards and how do you leverage it? That's a huge piece.
Yeah. You know, part of that comes, I think one of the things, several things kind of make me different from a lot of people that work with authors, and that my corporate experience of 26 years is all in the project management arena. So it's as natural to me as breathing to sit down here and say, okay, so Lindsay, you want to launch this book in the middle of September? Okay, great. I'm going to work my way backwards, and I'm going to come back to you and say, okay, then the first draft has to be done here. The editing needs to start here. How does that feel? Does that feel doable to you? Because if we're going to do this in 8 months, your first draft needs to be written in the first 8 to 10 weeks. That may mean, can you write a chapter a week?
Right.
Can you write a chapter a week?
No.
So like so that project man, I used to think everybody thinks this way, and then I kind of figured out that people don't. But like that's one of my gifts is like, okay, I can look at a calendar, lay this out, and come back. I can come back to you probably in an hour and tell you this is what it looks like. But it's a combination of project manager and knowing what has to happen sequentially as well as concurrent, and being a business coach and a marketing strategist, and kind of roll that all up. And I love mentoring people. I love mentor. That's one of the reasons I walked away from Chase is because I had no time to mentor my people. So it's very much I'm in the trenches with you from the beginning to the end. No matter what happens, I got you. Things can do go sideways sometimes. Unexpected things do happen, but we're in this together till the end. And that's just how I work, very much in collaboration and partnership.
So do you have the your client writes it and you edit it, or do you write some of it, or do you coach them through it? How does that process look?
Well, one of the I help people like at the beginning once answer those seven questions, and then I will help them like get their outline together. So what is the order? Because generally, if you're writing a nonfiction book, it's either if you're a coach or a consultant, these are the steps I take people through. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, right? Whatever it is. Okay. So it's a chapter per step. We make this harder than it needs to be. Or if your book more lends itself to personal development, these are the concepts that people need to understand, simplest to more complex. Don't start with the most complex one because people aren't going to get past chapter one. So I help them get the outline ready, then they have to go write it. Now here's the beautiful thing. If you have a business and you know your ideal client and you already have a process defined, man, with chapter a week, that's easy. Because you already know you
Know all
have
the
a
stuff. It's all in your
your
head.
right, you just haven't, written it down. Now, if you're struggling with the writing part, I will introduce clients to writing coaches because honestly, some of us writing's just not our thing. And nothing wrong with that. It's just like the, so I will introduce them to writing coaches. That's not me. They're engaging me for this full, process to get to the finish line. Everybody's got to have a professional editor. And that's, not a retired high school teacher that loves you necessarily. It's a professional editor is looking for, does it flow well? Is there redundancy? Is there too much story? Not enough story? Does it hang together as a whole? Can people follow it easily? Or are you using jargon that no one's going to be able to understand? So I also do introductions to editors. But that's kind of outside of my program. So there are a few investments that people need to make. And actually hiring a ghostwriter is the most expensive way to write a book.
Yes, agreed.
So you already
You know
have the
your stuff
content.
already.
And this is not, and I also have a document where I give people ideas of things to add to their chapters, like stories and case studies. And the mistakes that people make around whatever this is that they're talking about, myths and misconceptions. Here's my recommended process. And then you kind of follow that same framework for all of your chapters.
It
So
makes it easier.
I will help them like get started with all of that. But I always read all their books and I do give them some critique, but the writing and the editing, the writing coaching and the editing is something that we generally bring somebody else in for.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what is the difference? Well, I know what the difference is, but some people are like, oh, I need to go through a publisher. And some people are like, oh, self-publishing is the way to go. Like, why should you choose one over the other?
That's a really great question. I get asked that question, a lot.
I'm sure.
The reality is that there's been a major consolidation in the, there's only like five top publishers left. I mean, when I thought like the top tier. And then there's all sorts of people like in the middle. So it comes down to, is it important to you to have the cachet of saying I'm published by Simon & Schuster? Okay, if that's important to you, understand that you're going to have to find an agent. You're going to have to pitch your story.
Right.
They're going to have to jump through a bunch of hoops. One of the first things they're going to ask you is, tell me how big your email list is.
Oh.
Tell me how many social media followers you have. Prove to me that you can sell books.
Interesting.
Because publishers
are in it for the money.
Are in the business of making money. So if you already had those things, you wouldn't be looking for a publisher. it's kind of crazy. But what I tell people, Lindsay, is that read the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can become so enamored with, I mean, getting at one of those top five publishers is probably out of the reach of most mortals. So no matter who you end up with, read the small print about the revenue sharing.
Ah.
Because publishers, they may give you, let's just say they give you a $10,000 advance. And you're like, yo, oh, I got $10,000. Okay, well, you know what? That $10,000 is against sales. How long is it going to take you to sell enough books to make back the $10,000 that they gave you? Royalties
right.
are not going to pay your mortgage. And I know people who never did sell enough books to pay back that $10,000 advance.
Ooh.
Now they owe the publisher money.
Ooh.
So I just say, like, read this,
yeah,
read the fine print. So we become enamored with being attached to that name. What are they going to do to help you promote the book? You think they're going to, quote unquote, market the book. What exactly are they going to do? Most publishers, in my experience, have no clue how to launch on Amazon. They do not know how to get you on a bestseller list. They publish.
And get you in bookstores.
They don't launch. So know what you're paying for and know what you're going to get at the end. And so, because when people really look at that closely, they realize, by the way, the publisher has the final say on the cover. They also have the final say on the interior. They can make edits. You're literally signing over your rights to a publisher. What happens if the publisher goes out of business?
Oh, I never thought of that.
What happened? Now they own the Amazon account. They own your KDP account. You cannot make pricing changes. You're at their mercy. You are at their mercy. You do not own the Amazon account, which is problematic.
Yeah.
So when people really understand that, then they start to say, well, here's what I recommend. I recommend you self-publish, but you, Lindsay, you become the publisher. Your business, your company becomes the publisher.
Mm.
You go buy a set of 10 ISBNs. You know, that's the number that's on the barcode on the back of your book. The owner of the barcode is the publisher.
Ah.
Your company becomes the publisher.
This
is self-published,
cool.
But under your name, you own all rights. You can take that book and create a course. You're with a publisher. You may not be able, they may not. You can sell this book on your website. Like you own the content. So it becomes a question of how much control, how much ownership do you want to have? Now, the balance there is, if you go with a publisher, they're going to give you an editor and they're going to like do all these things. If you're in the self-publishing in the manner I just explained, you are the publisher, you're going to, you have an investment to get the right resources to get your book from idea. Okay. But everything you make from that is yours.
Good
all of
to
the
know.
royalties, all of the book sales, you aren't tied to the publisher. When you got a speaking engagement, you need 50 copies. Now you have to go back to the publisher. They order the 50 copies, they put a markup on it, and they send it to you.
Right.
If you self-published your book on Amazon and it's a black and white cop book, your price per copy is going to be somewhere around $4.
Yeah.
Consider this your $4 business card.
Oh, absolutely.
So people, I have this conversation with people when they really understand the reality of it's the cachet of being with a publisher, and you're not going to get in the top tier. So somebody that most people don't know, is it worth what you're giving up?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, is it worth it? And I think the answer is no.
I agree. But it's, I've never asked the question to anyone, honestly. So I've never gotten the answer. And so having you step through that and really open up people's eyes to what the differences are, like you really need to suss it out and really think about it before you leap, basically. Yeah.
Because you're in a legal agreement.
Ooh, yes, you're right.
You're in a legal agreement. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and go, well, you know, this doesn't feel right to me, this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I really, okay, well, you're
locked in.
You can, if you have it written in your contract, you can write them and say, I want to take back all of the rights to my book. And I've had clients do this where we actually self-publish, we take the book back from the publisher and we self-publish it with their ISBNs. We make the revisions, we relaunch, republish, and relaunch the book under their name so that they have all those rights. But why go through that if you don't have to do that?
Yeah, agreed. So let's go back to the beginning where it's like the piece where you have to get that right before you start writing the book. Mm-hmm. I believe you have a resource to help people with that, and you've got a program coming out. I would love for you to share that info.
Yeah, so I have a free downloadable gift that is the 7 questions in
perfect.
PDF format that people can just print out and start writing out their answers. Now, I tell people that I don't know about you, Lindsay, but I do my best work when I'm not behind a computer.
Agreed.
So
when I'm in the
get
car
outside,
driving.
sit out on the deck, and just really think about why am I writing this? And who is my audience in detail? What podcast are they listening? What books, what other authors are they following? What's the problem that most of my clients, when they show up in my world, everybody has this one big problem. That's what your first book should be about, whatever that one big problem is. They probably have multiple problems, but pick the one that's most common. Work your way through that. So that's a free download. And I am putting together, I have a brand new program to help people through this whole answer the questions. And I'm calling it the author launchpad, because this is the foundation for success.
Yeah.
And let's work through, what does the outline look like? Once we know the answers, what's your outline look like? The front cover design, 3D images, so
Ooh.
you can start getting yourself booked out on podcasts, and a high level timeline of what do you need to do in what order, to get to the finish line. So if you've got a date and then you've told me, I want to publish in September, then I reverse engineer work back and I will give you a high level timeline so that you know, when should I have my first draft finished. So that's 4 weeks.
Okay.
One-on-one working with me directly, so that you have all of the assets that you need to continue to build your audience and get the name of the start building the buzz around the book.
Yeah. Awesome. And then I'll have the link in the show notes, but it is Write, as in Write, the Right Book. Write the Right Business Book.com. And I'll have the link in the show notes so that they can grab that resource. And what's your website as well, so people can reach out if they want help with their own book launch?
And my website is Business Book Partners with an S, businessbookpartners.com. And there are resources there. People can read about the different programs that I have. And if you can't tell, I love what I do.
Yes.
And it's so amazing to watch somebody come in that has an idea and they have this big message that they want to get out in the world, and watch them and guide them and be in the trenches with them and be able to celebrate their being able to do something that they might not have been 100% sure they could do.
Yeah. And to like, who is not excited by having like a book in their hand going, oh my God, I'm an author. This is my book. It's like giving birth to a baby almost. It's like super exciting.
Well, and I said 8 months, it's almost.
Yeah, true enough, right?
Oh, close enough.
That's so funny.
Close enough.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You've given us so much wisdom and tips. And I love your launch approach and sharing as well how you can podcast guest before the book is even out, I think, and build your audience beforehand. I think that is a fabulous strategy that anyone should do. And yeah, I appreciate you being on the show.
All right. Thank you so much for inviting me, Lindsay. It's been a great conversation today.
All right. So we'll see you next week, folks, on the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.